Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Today is our final program from this beautiful and majestic book of Isaiah. Please stay with us for today's life study of the Bible with Witness Lee. We're grateful to have Ed Marks with us as we close this tremendous life study of Isaiah. Ed, thank you for taking time out to be with us today.
Well, Chris, I'm really happy to be back, especially for this concluding broadcast.
Let's get right to Witness Lee's portion. Again, the final sharing from Isaiah in 1991. Here's Witness Lee.
I'm happy to cover the all-inclusive Christ in this one book.
Amen.
Now, we come to the last message on the servant of Jehovah as two persons. Number one, as the anointed of Jehovah. This is a very, very precious term in the Old Testament, the anointed of Jehovah. Number two, the angel of the presence of Jehovah. The last item of the all-inclusive Christ is the Lord Jesus as the angel. Now, not in the presence, but of the presence. That means what? That means he is the presence of Jehovah. In the presence means two persons. Of the presence means one person.
Amen.
The angel of Jehovah is just Jehovah's presence. Just like the life of Christ. If I say the life in Christ, this means life and Christ are two. If I say the life of Christ, that means the life is Christ. These are the last two items of what the all-inclusive Christ is in Isaiah to Israel. Firstly, this all-inclusive Christ is the anointed of Jehovah. This is a sweet term to God's people. Don't you feel the anointed of Jehovah? Isn't he so sweet? Sweet term. But the angel of the presence of Jehovah is toward Gentiles, mostly toward God's people's enemies. Firstly, he was there dealing with Pharaoh and his army. In other words, he was protecting God's people in the front and at the rear. So Isaiah concludes the all-inclusive Christ in his two items. One is so sweet to God's elect, and the other is so strong toward God's elect's enemies. And Israel's last enemy will be Antichrist and all the nations with him. Revelation chapter 16 tells us that Antichrist collected all the nations, the evil persons on this earth, to be the army attacking Israel, just to destroy Israel. The last one who will have a kind of a conspiracy to destroy Israel will be Antichrist with his allies, the nations. Then who will fight him down? Who will defeat him and put him into directly the lake of fire? The angel of Jehovah. That's the Lord Jesus as the presence of the triune God.
Amen.
He will come to defeat Antichrist. And this is mentioned here in Isaiah.
Ed, two aspects of Christ as the servant of Jehovah are being focused on today in Isaiah. Number one, he is the anointed of Jehovah, and also is the angel of the presence of Jehovah. I like both of these aspects, but I'm particularly intrigued by this second one. Say a little word about both of these wonderful aspects of Christ.
Well, Chris, firstly, he's the anointed of Jehovah, and this comes from Isaiah 61:1, where it says, the Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is upon me because he has anointed me. And then it tells us what he's anointed Christ to do. Actually, in Luke 4, when the Lord was beginning his ministry, he quoted these verses in Isaiah 61 and applied them to himself, revealing himself as the anointed one of Jehovah. Actually, the word Christ means the anointed one. He is the one who is anointed with the Spirit, who's saturated with the Spirit, and who's filled with the Spirit. And according to 2 Corinthians 1, we have been attached to him as the anointed one. So we share in his anointing to announce the gospel to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to send away and release all the oppressed ones. We'll come back to this at the end of the program and see more concerning him as the anointed of Jehovah. He's also the angel of the presence of Jehovah. Now, what does this mean? This is absolutely marvelous. Actually, let me just say this. We need to be clear. When it says the angel of the presence of Jehovah, this means these two words are in apposition, these two phrases, the angel and the presence of Jehovah. For instance, when we say the Spirit of life, that means the Spirit is life. In the same way, the angel of Jehovah is the presence of Jehovah. So what we say is this, the angel of Jehovah is the Lord Jesus himself as the very presence of the triune God. Now the reason why we can say this is because when you look in Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, when God appeared to Moses, he was a fire in the midst of a bush. It was a burning bush there. The fire in that bush, according to Exodus 3:2, was the angel of Jehovah. And then this very angel of Jehovah reveals himself to Moses as the great I am. And then in John 8, the Lord Jesus tells us that he is the I am, the very I am that was in that bush who was the angel of Jehovah. This shows us that the angel of the presence of Jehovah is Christ himself. When you come to Exodus 14, and you look at the book of Exodus, what you see is that Christ as the angel of Jehovah, he escorted the entire race of Israel through the wilderness into the good land. And according to Exodus 14, verse 19, he protected the children of Israel from the Egyptian army. On the one hand, he was leading them, but then when the Egyptian army came to attack them, he went to the rear and protected them. What all this shows us is that Christ, as the angel of the presence of Jehovah, as the very presence of the triune God, is in the midst of his people, caring for them in their suffering, caring for them in their captivity, comforting them, and protecting them from their enemies. So we can experience Christ as the anointed one of Jehovah today. This is very sweet to us. On the other hand, we can experience him as the angel of the presence of Jehovah, protecting us from God's enemies and caring for us in all of our affliction. Now, these are two marvelous aspects of Christ.
This prophecy concerning Christ as the anointed of Jehovah had the fullest fulfillment at Christ's first coming. In the Old Testament, you couldn't see Christ would have two comings. The Old Testament only shows us that Christ will have one coming. Just like two peaks of a mountain range. If you look at this view far off, you could only see one mountain range. You cannot see the two peaks until you come near. In between of these two peaks, there is a big valley, a big plain. So in the Old Testament, you couldn't see two comings of Christ. Therefore, Isaiah 61, concerning Christ as the anointed of God, is just signified by one peak. In these 27 chapters, chapters 40 to 66, all talk about the restoration of Israel. But actually, today, for us, in view of the New Testament light, when we come to Isaiah 40 to 66, we could see two comings here. For instance, in Isaiah 40, it says, Jehovah will appear. That means Jesus will appear. That appearing surely is not his second coming. It is the first coming ushered in by John the Baptist. But in ancient time, I even doubt whether Isaiah knew or not. They didn't have this idea. They only knew that Messiah will come. He will come. Only one coming. But actually, Messiah, the anointed one of Jehovah, will come two times. The first time is for the age of grace. And the second time will be for the age of restoration. And the age of grace is a foretaste of the age of restoration. Amen. This one prophecy does have two fulfillments. One is a foretaste, just a little taste. The other is the foretaste. What we are enjoying today is the foretaste. But this foretaste will have a foretaste. Amen. That is in the time of restoration.
Ed, Witness Lee, I think, used a very helpful illustration here to help us understand the two comings of Christ, and that is this picture of the mountain range that can appear as one peak or multiple peaks, depending on where you're viewing it from. Compare the angle or vantage point of Old Testament saints like Isaiah with the view that we have standing here today in the light of the New Testament revelation.
Well, Chris, if you look at Isaiah chapter 40 through 66, these chapters talk about Christ coming to bring in the age of restoration. And in Isaiah's view in the Old Testament, he speaks of Christ's one coming. But when we look at the book of Isaiah through the view of the New Testament revelation, we see that actually Isaiah's prophecy concerning Christ's coming was a prophecy of Christ's coming in two aspects: his coming the first time as a man, and eventually coming as the second time to marry his prepared bride and defeat Antichrist and his armies and usher in the age of restoration in the millennial kingdom. Now, Brother Lee did give a very good illustration, as you pointed out. When you look at a mountain range and you see a peak, it may look like one peak, but when you get close to it, it's actually two peaks with a valley in between those two peaks. Well, this is how Christ's coming is. It's his coming in two aspects. His first coming is the first peak, and then there's a valley in between, and then the second peak is his second coming. Well, what's in that valley in between is the church. What is he doing in between his first coming and his second coming? He is building his church. Right now, as we're speaking, as you're listening, Christ is being imparted into us. We're being filled with Christ. Christ is increasing himself in us a little more. And this is the way he builds his church. And his building his church is his preparing us as his bride for his second coming. His first coming brought in the age of grace. His second coming brings in the age of restoration. And so we actually have a foretaste of the age of restoration, which is the thousand-year millennial kingdom, in the age of grace today. But eventually, when we are fully prepared as the bride of Christ, and we are with Christ on that wedding day, we will enjoy him to the uttermost for 1,000 years as his overcoming bride. This is what our lives are for. Our lives are so that we can be one with Christ, to be filled with Christ day by day, to be transformed with the riches of Christ, so that we can be prepared as his bride to bring in his second coming, and we can be rewarded with him in all his fullness and enjoy him and feast with him and on him as our spiritual food for 1,000 years. And Chris, I know you and I both believe that the Lord's coming is very, very close. And just this broadcast that we're having going out all over the earth, actually, in a number of languages, is for the preparation of Christ's bride to bring in his second coming.
Well, Ed, we've come to our final segment in the book of Isaiah. Let's join Witness Lee.
Jehovah has anointed him to do the following things, seven things. Number one, to bring good news to the afflicted. Good news, gospel, to the suffering ones, the afflicted. Number two, to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted. Then number three, to proclaim liberty to the captives. They all got somewhat bound. No liberty, but Christ will come to proclaim liberty to the captives and the release of those who are bound. Then to proclaim the acceptable year of Jehovah and the day of vengeance of our God. Acceptable year, that's toward God's people. The day of vengeance is toward God's people's enemy. Then to comfort all who mourn. Six, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, by that time Christ came, to give them these few things, a headdress instead of ashes. Headdress means a turban. Then oil of gladness instead of mourning. You see, all these six items to us are very fitting. When we were there, not saved, you consider, were you not like this? All the six items. Then number seven, that the Lord do these six items in order that they, the Israel people, may be called the turbans of righteousness. They were slaughtered there, but they will become the growing tree, beautiful of righteousness. And these are the planting of Jehovah, that he, Jehovah, may be glorified. This is at Christ's second coming, to be the anointed of God to take care of God's scattered and suffering people.
Well, Brother Ed, we conclude with a very powerful prophetic word about seven items that the Lord will be to his people Israel at his coming, but that also apply to us. Give us a review, Ed, of these seven wonderful aspects.
Well, Chris, this comes back to the revelation of Christ as the anointed of Jehovah. As the anointed one of God, he is appointed to carry out some marvelous things for us and to do a marvelous work within us. Okay, there's seven items. Number one is he's commissioned to announce the gospel to the poor. And we need to realize the poor are not just poor materially, but people who are poor in heavenly, spiritual, and divine things. That's us. He announced the gospel to us. And even right now, he is dispensing his unsearchable riches into us to make us no longer poor, but rich toward God. Okay, number two, he was anointed to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted. And I would just like to ask you, maybe you feel like your heart has been broken. All of our hearts. You know, in this life, we go through a lot of sufferings, a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations, and our heart gets broken by some things. But if we open to the Lord and we say, Lord Jesus, I need you right now. I don't know what to do. I need you to come into me. I need you at this very moment to bind up my broken heart. He is the unique one in this universe that can bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted. And we need to open him so he can bind up all our wounds. And then we need to be one with him, to go with him to people so that we can speak him into others to bind up their wounds. Okay, number three, he was anointed to proclaim release to the captives. These are prisoners of war under Satan's bondage. And this involves recovery of sight to the blind. These are people who are blind, not just physically, but spiritually. This also involves sending away and release those who are oppressed under Satan in sickness or in sin. If you're in sickness or you're in sin, this one who is within you has been anointed to release you from Satan's bondage under sickness were in sin. He's been anointed to open your eyes so that you can see how wonderful, marvelous, awesome, rich, and just so precious he is. Okay, number four, he was anointed to proclaim the acceptable year of Jehovah and the day of the vengeance of our God. The acceptable year of Jehovah is the year he accepts the returned captives of sin so that they can enjoy the release of God's salvation. And of course, the day of vengeance of our God is the vengeance on all of God's people's enemies. Then he's anointed to comfort all who mourn. Perhaps you're mourning right now over some loss you've had. Who can comfort you? The only one who can comfort us in the deepest, most intrinsic, most intimate way is the Lord Jesus himself. If we just open to him and say, Lord, I open to you. I need you to be my comfort right now. You'll experience him in this way. Also, number six, this is marvelous. If you are in ashes, he exchanges your ashes for a headdress. He becomes your beauty and your glory in the midst of your suffering. If you are in mourning, he gives you the oil of gladness. That means he fills you with the Spirit, and he becomes your gladness. You know, just the other day, Chris, I told the Lord, Lord, I have no happiness apart from you. You are my happiness. You are my gladness. He can be your eternal gladness that nothing can quench. Also, he exchanges a spirit of heaviness, and he gives you a mantle of praise. I tell you, if you're in a spirit of heaviness right now, just say with me right now, Lord Jesus, I open to you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I give myself to you. And right now, he will clothe you with himself as a mantle of praise. And then finally, the issue of all of this, seven, is he makes us terebinths of righteousness, the planting of Jehovah, that he may be glorified. And a terebinth is a robust, sturdy oak tree. When we enjoy him in all these riches, we become a robust oak tree, full of Christ as our righteousness, and for his glorification and his expression in this universe. And this is the conclusion of the marvelous gospel of Isaiah, which shows us Christ in all his radiance, all his wonder, all his beauty, and all his majesty.
Ed, we close with beauty and majesty. That's how we opened the program today. That is exceedingly fitting. For Ed Marks, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today.